Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we jump into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray, because prayer is good. Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for the smiles that are on our faces, Lord, the peace that is in our homes, Lord, and the joy that's in our lives, Lord. We thank you that you are always looking out for us, Lord, that you're always providing for our needs, Lord, that you're always guiding us, protecting us, Lord, and that you're always encouraging us, Lord. We thank you for being our Father and giving us the opportunity to be your sons and daughters, and we ask that you'll guide us this morning, Lord, that you'll minister to us, Lord, that you will show us those areas that we need to fix, Lord, and we thank you for your help in doing so. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us as we continue our study in the book of James. This morning, we are in chapter 1, and we are still discussing verses 5 through 8. So, whether it's your first time joining us or you're rejoining us, we want to encourage you to pause the episode, read through that section of scripture, and just to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I will.
All right, honey.
I'll pick up where I left off in the last episode. Whether or not we're going to be led by God or try to lead God the way we want him to go. Mm-hmm. When you look back at James chapter 1 and you look at that section of scripture that a little bit broader than what we were initially talking about, but starting at verse 2 down through verse 8 is a process.
Amen.
Count it all joy when things don't seem to go your way, when it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to. But continue and understand that the testing of your faith produces patience, and then let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, so that you're being developed and cultivated. And if you don't understand what's going on, you're having a hard time or trouble processing it, or you don't know what to do next, ask of God, and he will give you wisdom liberally, generously, and without mocking or chastisement or dismissal. And he will bless you in that way, and he'll give you understanding, insight, revelation, guidance, structure, skill to continue in the process that he is leading you in. But ask him with confidence, not dueling between yourself, what you want to have happen, and what he wants to have done, not doubting if his plan is going to work or if he's able to carry it out or bring it to pass, but steadfast, constant, and immovable on your confession of faith that he's good and he's God and he knows and he will help you, refusing to doubt the ability of the Lord, refusing to question his character, his nature, his attributes, or his ability again to lead you in the right way. Because if you wrestle with this, you're going to be double-minded. You're going to be tossed to and fro like the waves, and you won't be able to move forward. You will be stagnated and held in that location because you have to come to God by faith. If you're not coming by faith, don't expect that you're going to move forward. God is not obligated to answer to desperation or temper tantrums, or, right? He's not obligated to answer that. He's already let us know that his currency is faith. And again, we are led by him and not by what we think he should do. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. Just like you can't take a table and set it on an uneven surface and expect to now stack goods on that table. That's what the double-minded man is like, or a boat that's in the middle of a tempest. The waves are crashing around. That's not the time to get in that boat and expect that it's going to be, seaworthy in the water, because it's probably being overfilled with water. But he indicates and declares to us that we have a choice in this. We have a choice of whether or not we're going to say, God, your way is good and I'll be led by you. And I'm going to believe you every step of the way. So in this, it requires us to have a desire to not only be led by God and a willingness to be led by him, but also a desire to understand and know his ways. Because the only wisdom that God gives is that wisdom that you mentioned. Not last episode, but the one before that, that is sensible. It's good. It's peaceable, right? It's willing to yield. It's gentle. And it comes from heaven, not sensual and demonic wisdom that comes from the earth, which is selfish and self-absorbed, right? So let's take a look over at Proverbs.
Yes.
We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3.
Bingo.
And then I'll start at verse 13 and I'll just keep reading. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, right? That's what we talked about at the beginning, those starting in verse 2 of James chapter 1 and reading down through 8, that understanding of the things and the ways of God. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Sometimes we get in the habit of going, I think I'm going to go this way because I desire the ruby, because it looks good to me, and I think it's better than what God is saying. But the word is telling us, put his way first, because that's wisdom, and you'll get everything else that you need, and also fine-tune and retrain your heart to desire him as your prize and the principal thing. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. That person, rather than being tossed to and fro by the tempest, when they asked the wisdom from the Lord, they were stabilized, right? That was the contrast that was shown there. The one who is in faith and being led by God is stable in all their ways, right? You can see that by what was said and then what was not said. The double-minded man is unstable. So the singular-minded on the faith of God, the faith man, is stable in all his ways. That life raft, that hope of life has come to them. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. Wisdom was the tool that he used, and he put it in the way and design and the process that he said was right. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence, and you will keep your foot from being caught. All right. I mean, that's the long way of saying what was just listed in the beginning parts of James chapter 1. But it expounds on that. And so you can see, if we want truly to be stabilized, if we truly want to have success, if we really want what we say we want, then we'll go about it God's way, right? Because God is the one. Nothing was made without wisdom. That was the tool that God used. Uh-huh. So our desire is to be led by God and for his wisdom to come to pass. And again, to desire to go God's way and to be led by him, because this is how he's going to lead us. Which one of us was there in the beginning and told him, don't put that there, Lord. Don't make that tree that way. What are you doing, Lord? Let me give you some counsel and discretion on how to put together a human form. Wait, Jesus.
Are the exact or similar questions to what he asked Job. I'll ask you and you tell me, right? And in scripture all says, who has counseled the Lord?
Exactly. Exactly. So when we keep that in proper order and we trust God is capable of doing just that, being God, that he did without us before we were ever made, and he will long exist beyond us, right? And yes, whether or not we serve him, he is still going to be who he is. If he didn't need my help then, and it's a good chance he doesn't need it now,
That's it. And
except for my trust and my desire to be obedient to him, my desire to perceive and have a right vision and focus of what he's saying instead of trying to force him to do things my way. And that's, again, where fear comes in. You're not going to do what I want, Lord. You're not going to do it the way I think you're going to do it. I don't know if I can. Well, no, the only one who's trustworthy is God. Amen. Everyone else is not.
It's questionable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that you brought up all those things about just doing things the Lord's way. Now, we talked about doubting and removing double-mindedness from your life, right? Mm-hmm. But also in this section, it talks about, and you brought this up.
I'm back in James.
In James. Mm-hmm. He who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, right? Well, James being the brother of Jesus, mm-hmm. right?
The natural brother, yeah.
Natural brother of Jesus, yes. Mm-hmm. No doubt shared this story with the disciples, right? I have no, or the disciples shared this with James, mm-hmm. because James didn't always follow his brother, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
We see that throughout in scripture, especially when it says, hey, who are my mother and my brothers, right? Them that do the will of my Father in heaven, mm-hmm. right? But in Mark 6, 45 through 52, it's also in John 6, in the earlier verse, I believe it's around verse 16, and in Matthew 14, beginning in verse 22 through 33, is when Jesus walks on the water, right? So for most people, it's a well-known story, but there are some key points to bring out there, right? Talking about the wave being tossed to and fro, mm-hmm. right? Now, again, we brought up in the previous episode about why they were at that place, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because ultimately the Lord says of their hardness of heart, but that came because they struggled with what he had told them, right? About him being the bread of life. So much so that he had to allow them to go then, right? Get in the boat and go. And it says how they got in the boat, they went up, or Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves. It says the wind was contrary in Matthew. And then, of course, Jesus makes his way down. But Mark says very plainly that he would have passed them by because more or less they were in opposition to him. But they cried out to him. And he said, be of good cheer. It's I. Don't be afraid, right? Mm-hmm. But then in Mark 6, it says, verse 51 and 52 says this, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. So we have to understand that, right? If we love the Lord, we should not harden our heart toward him, what he says or what he does.
Yes, Dan.
Right, because he's the one with the wisdom that we need to receive and that we are asking to receive it, right? The Lord's ways are not ours, right? But his thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. Mm-hmm. So we need to receive his thoughts and his ways, and that only comes from him. So we can't harden our heart to what he is trying to teach and instill in us, or then think we have a better way. So, but you see, as you were saying, honey, this is a process, right? From in James, from verse 2 to verse 8, as a process of getting to this point where we just trust the Lord fully. Mm-hmm. And that comes from making a choice to trust the Lord because we love him. And because we love him, we are willing to hear and obedient to what he is saying. But we have to get to that place and choose to do that thing. Because if not, you see the reverse process or the opposite, where people harden their hearts. And as a result of their heart being hardened, eventually, as we were talking about in the previous episode, many walked away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you even see that here in the boat example, where mm-hmm. Jesus walks on the water. Mm-hmm. They had left. And the Lord did, yes, when they called out to him, he came back. He drew near to them.
And their hardness of heart robbed them of understanding.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So understand that in full. Is your hardness of heart limiting you or robbing you from receiving the wisdom of the Lord? Or are you receiving the wisdom of the Lord because you love him and you are willing and obedient to him?
Well, yes, Dad, I would like to go back to something Mommy was saying. And Mommy, you're talking about how will we be willing to allow God to lead us and guide us? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord was reminding me of how oftentimes, and Mommy, going back to what you were talking about inside of Proverbs about the ruby, as in about wisdom, that is. And how oftentimes when we see things inside of the natural perspective and we allow our mind to get involved inside of it, instead of actually seeing things from God's perspective, we end up adding our own embellishments to it. And the Lord reminded me of, for example, a mine. Say there's, for example, something we think's a ruby, but when you go to it, it's actually fool's gold. And as a result, you end up missing the big diamond. And
you got three different kinds of stones here, man. What's going on? Or metals. There,
but that's what it's like when we're hard-hearted and we put our eye mm-hmm. on the thing that we think we want rather than the one who gives the gifts. It's exactly like that. I mean, he's being generous on the things you could come up with. Fool's gold is a...
This is true.
Is generous. It's generous. Go ahead, honey.
And how instead of actually being able to get the special diamond God had exactly prepared for us, that is exactly special to us, we end up getting something that's common, that God never meant for us to have. And as a result, we can see that inside of verse 6.
Of James?
Yes, okay. Of James, talking about how he's unstable in all his ways. Instead of actually walking on God's path and continuing, they're going to veer off as soon as they see something of value. Which is also important for us to ask God what he wants us to see about the situation. Which is also wisdom is for. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. We may have all the knowledge in the world, but if we don't apply it, it does us nothing good.
If it's not applied correctly, it's no good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the same applies for us when God is giving us a choice. We have to ask God for his perspective instead of trying to rush off and try to do things our own way. Because only when we ask God for his perspective will it actually become special to us. For example, going back to the example of the diamond, God can lead us to the diamond, but if we don't actually see it through his eyes, it's not going to be valuable to us. As in, it's going to be the same as a pebble, which is totally unvaluable. But if we see that same pebble and think there's value in it, we're going to treat it better than that diamond.
So you're saying treat the word of the Lord with value because it is invaluable. Is that what you're getting at there, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Well, wonderful. I appreciate that. Let's remember, we all have a choice in this, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'll use the children of Israel in the wilderness. Jesus is the one that dictated when they were to move, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll be the first to preface what I'm about to say by saying scripture doesn't say this, right? But everyone had a choice of whether to get up, pack their things up, and follow the Lord, which is what Moses asked the Lord for. I know we are stubborn and rebellious people, or this people is stubborn and obstinate, right? But take us as your people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Moses had asked the question of the Lord. Each one had a choice for themselves of what they were going to do. When the Lord was moving, they were either going to choose to go with the Lord and follow him wherever he went, wherever the Lord went, wherever the Lord was leading, or to remain where they were, or, if you will, go their own way. By choosing to remain where they were was choosing to go their own way. What is your choice? Well, as we've been talking about, are you going to go the Lord's way? Are you okay with that? And allowing the Lord to lead you. Remember, Scripture tells us very plainly, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Or will you choose to go another way? But that is the practical application side to this. I encourage you to choose the Lord's way. Mm-hmm. It is good. It is perfect. It lacks nothing, but contains every good and perfect gift. The same cannot be said on, if you will, the Lord's, well, not his perfect will, but his
permissive
will. Exactly. The blessings remain on the perfect will, not on the permissive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for correcting our perspective and our heart and our attitude, Lord. We thank you for being here to teach us and being willing to do so, Lord. We also thank you for our partners and listeners, Lord, that they are growing, Lord, both in physical and spiritual stature, Lord. We thank you that they're excelling and that there is peace among their homes, Lord, and that they're perceiving the good that you have in store for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.